Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Half the Sky Turning Oppression into Opportunity for Women Worldwide, is a 2009 nonfiction book by journalists Nicholas D. Kristof and Cheryl Wu Dunn. Drawing on reporting from Asia, Africa, and other regions, it examines the structural oppression faced by women and girls through issues such as sex trafficking, forced prostitution, gender-based violence, maternal mortality, lack of education, and limited access to healthcare and economic opportunity. The book is part investigative journalism, part policy argument, and part call to action. Its central claim is that the marginalization of women is not a peripheral social problem, but one of the most serious human rights and development challenges in the world. Rather than presenting only statistics, the authors use personal stories to make the scale of the problem concrete, and then pair those stories with examples of grassroots interventions, social entrepreneurs, and practical reforms that can improve lives. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, oppression of women as a global human rights and development crisis. The book's most important argument is that violence and discrimination against women should be understood as a central global crisis, not a niche women's issue. Kristof and Wu Dunn frame practices such as trafficking, rape, forced marriage, maternal death, and denial of schooling as interconnected forms of structural inequality that keep families and communities trapped in poverty. This framing matters because it changes the reader's sense of scale and responsibility. If women are prevented from participating fully in education, work, and public life, entire societies lose economic productivity, political stability, and social resilience. The authors repeatedly connect gender injustice to broader development failures, showing that oppression is sustained by custom, corruption, weak institutions, and indifference. The result is a book that treats women's rights as inseparable from public health, economic growth, and human dignity. That perspective gives the book its urgency and distinguishes it from narrower works that address only one abuse at a time. Secondly, narrative journalism used to make distant suffering morally legible. A defining feature of the book is its use of vivid individual stories to translate large-scale injustice into something readers can grasp emotionally and intellectually. Instead of relying only on abstract data, the authors organize much of the book around women, whose experiences illustrate broader patterns of oppression. This journalistic method is effective because readers are often overwhelmed by statistics about global inequality, but can more readily understand the human reality of a single life. The stories are not included merely for drama. They function as evidence that the system is real, recurring, and socially produced. At the same time, the book shows the strength and limits of narrative nonfiction. Personal testimony can inspire concern and action, but it may also simplify social complexity when reduced to a single rescue story. Still, within the book's structure, narrative is the bridge between information and moral engagement. It is one of the reasons the book became widely read beyond policy circles, and why it continues to be discussed as a work of advocacy journalism. Thirdly, grassroots solutions and social entrepreneurship as the book's practical answer, Half the Sky does not stop at diagnosis. It argues that change is already happening through local and practical interventions. The authors repeatedly highlight social entrepreneurs, activists, health workers, educators, and community organizations that tackle problems at the ground level. These solutions include building schools, supporting female health initiatives, improving access to microfinance, and creating legal or economic pathways that expand women's choices. The book's logic is that large international institutions often move slowly, while small and targeted efforts can be more adaptable and cost-effective. This emphasis on solutions gives the book a pragmatic orientation rather than a purely denunciatory one. It also reflects a belief that empowering women produces ripple effects. Educated women are more likely to improve child health, reduce poverty, and strengthen local economies. The book therefore presents activism not as abstract idealism, but as a sequence of concrete investments with measurable social returns. Its advocacy style is built on the claim that readers do not have to solve everything to make a meaningful difference. Fourthly, the tension between urgent advocacy and concerns about Western savior narratives. The book has been influential, but it has also drawn criticism for how it frames an intervention. Some readers and scholars argue that its rescue-oriented narratives can reproduce a Western-centered view in which outsiders identify problems, define solutions, and sometimes appear as moral heroes. This criticism is especially strong around its treatment of sex work and anti-trafficking efforts, where the line between coercion, economic survival, and agency can be more complicated than the book sometimes acknowledges. The concern is not that oppression is exaggerated, but that the book can flatten local complexity by emphasizing dramatic examples that fit a clear moral script. This matters because development writing can unintentionally mirror the hierarchies it seeks to oppose. Half the Sky is strongest when it highlights local leadership and concrete support, and weaker when it risks implying that change arrives mainly through external intervention. The book therefore remains important not only for what it argues, but also for the debates it has generated about representation, power, and who gets to speak for women in the Global South. Lastly, a call to action that links empathy, citizenship, and measurable support, the book is designed to move readers from awareness to participation. Christoph and Wu Dun argue that ordinary people are not powerless spectators and can contribute through donations, volunteering, informed advocacy, and support for effective organizations. This makes the book more than a report on suffering. It is a civic text that asks what responsibility looks like in a globalized world. Its action-oriented approach is one reason it appealed to a broad audience, including readers outside academic or activist communities. The book also tries to make moral responsibility feel practical rather than overwhelming by emphasizing interventions that are specific, scalable, and relatively low cost. That strategy is important because many books on injustice end with outrage. While Half the Sky tries to convert outrage into targeted engagement, in doing so, it stands out as a work that joins moral persuasion with a policy-minded belief in results. Its influence comes from combining conscience, evidence, and a belief that visible harm can be reduced through sustained collective effort. In conclusion, Half the Sky is best suited for readers interested in human rights, international development, gender inequality, journalism, and nonprofit or policy work. It is especially valuable for people who want to understand how gender oppression operates across health, education, labor, and family life, rather than as an isolated issue. The book offers two major benefits. It makes a difficult global problem emotionally intelligible through reporting, and it gives readers a framework for thinking about practical intervention. Compared with many books in the same category, it stands out for its blend of urgency, accessibility, and actionability. It is less academic than a policy study and less detached than a traditional news investigation. Instead, it combines moral argument with on-the-ground case studies and concrete suggestions for engagement. Its lasting value lies in that balance. Readers gain not only information about the scale of women's oppression, but also a clearer sense of why empowering women matters to public health, economic development, and social justice. Even where the book invites criticism, it remains a landmark work of advocacy journalism. If you would like to support Nicholas D. Christoph, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.